It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Hello, and welcome to The Cult of Tea and Dice, episode 144. We've made a gross.
Yay!
You gross.
I was pretty excited.
Anyway, I don't know
what this means.
All right. I was looking at the lights on the thing and trying to work out what was different, and what's different is we've got four channels. So anyway, hello and welcome back. This is actually our second recording of 2017, but the first recording of Cthulhu, and the first recording with slightly more microphones than we've had before. Hopefully this has resulted in better sound quality, but due to the fact that we're still using our old soundboard, I bet it probably hasn't. Sorry, we are trying to work on it, but boards are fucking expensive.
So if there's anyone really rich listening to this who wants to send us money, please feel free.
Yes, don't worry.
Or just buy us a soundboard.
Yeah, just send us a soundboard.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. So, gratuitous shilling aside.
Shill.
I've lost track of what the fuck I was going to do now. Oh yes, anyway, so we're going to be playing Call of Cthulhu tonight. I think it's the third session of the Trieste chapter, Cold Wind Blowing. And I realise that, of course, I don't have Sirenscape up, so I might need to do that. But anyway, first, before we do that, where's that crackle from? It's stopped. Okay, first, before we do that, however, we have a tea to review. Now, this is a different sort of tea. This is a tea of quality. This is Tesco's finest tea. Tesco's, for those of you in America, is kind of like if Walmart sort of had ethics. You know.
A bit. Not quite Satan.
They're not quite Satan.
Yeah.
They're close.
Yeah.
So, I went into Tesco's the other day to buy a hilarious amount of vegetables. And while I was there, I bought a tin. And I bought this tea, and it is vanilla chai from the Tesco's finest range.
Ooh.
Yes.
I really like this tea.
It's quite pleasant.
It's actually rather nice. It's quite nice.
I think you could have had milk in it, though, to be honest. We originally poo-pooed the idea of actually having milk in this.
It was quite nice without milk.
Yeah.
I was curious what it would taste with milk.
Yeah.
So it felt like something where milk could have actually worked for it. So I do like me a chai latte, and that's very milky and chai.
See, I think I never actually got into the idea of putting milk in chai. Chai is like the black tea where I never add milk.
Yeah, I never put milk into chai.
I know chai latte is a thing, but for some reason I've gone the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, chai lattes are not just putting milk in chai, there's obviously some sort of sweetening and stuff and everything, so.
Okay.
So the two are not identical. It's entirely possible putting milk in this wouldn't work. It's a perfectly nice tea on its own.
It's very, very pleasant indeed, in fact. I really enjoyed it. It's got a fair amount of vanilla taste. And unlike most chais, where the chai spice is very, very strong indeed, because it's got the vanilla in it, it feels like it's cut the chai taste a little, which actually makes it a little bit more pleasant.
But the vanilla is not overpowering, because I'm not a big fan of vanilla. a lot of the time, but this, it's there. It's definitely there, but it's not overwhelming.
Mm.
The way it is, like, for example, anytime Starbucks try to do something that's supposed to have, like, hazelnut flavour, what they actually just do is dump vanilla flavouring in it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
This is actually proper, reasonably ratioed vanilla.
Yeah. You can see why it's in the finest range. It was... My bag stayed in rather longer than it should have, because I forgot to bring my tea up. And even so, it hasn't become, like, hideously overpowerful and tastes like tar. Mm. It's still quite a pleasant cup of tea. Now, admittedly, I've got a load of sugar in it. Well, I haven't got sugar, but you know what I mean. It's quite pleasant. It's quite nice. I think I would recommend it. Excuse me. I think I would recommend it, and I'd be interested to test out a few more of these Tesco Finest.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is Tesco's is about a 2-mile walk from here, so might have to wait until I've got some time. And, you know, we've drunk the rest of this one, because I don't want to end up with, like, a pile of tea the size of, you know, archive.
Well, I've got quite a few more fruit teas to bring to you.
I've got very big, so I've got a massive pile of tea.
But
she's big enough that you don't
want. She's big enough that you don't want a huge pint of tea the size of her.
Now I want to see someone build a tea effigy of Archive.
I am a perfectly respectable size.
You're not really all that much shorter than Allegory. So,
yeah,
you know.
It's not like I'm a midget.
No. Archive is not a midget. Neither is Allegory. Allegory might be a hobbit.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't want a pile of tea the size of you, because that's a ridiculous pile of tea.
I would be impressed if you could manage it, because even when you had the giant crate... I've still got
the giant crate. It's still full.
Yeah, okay. So it would take at least, like, 3 of those crates.
Yeah, and we haven't reached that yet.
Yeah.
But anyway...
that was a fun segue.
Yeah.
Tangent. Segue something different. It's a scooter.
I'm just making sure I can produce the wind.
Well, just eat plenty of beans, you'll be fine.
Right. I can produce the wind. Oh dear, we eclipsed like fuck there. Ow.
Be less windy.
Bollocks. That's annoying.
People at home, Mordrigan made a thing that sounded like it was a flatulence reference. Very funny.
I'll leave that in.
Yeah, no, leave it in. It confused me. Brilliant. Love messing with our readers, listeners in the best way.
I've raised the finger of innuendo. And now we should really begin the thing they actually listen to the podcast for. You know, the actual play podcast that involves occasionally some actual play.
Okay, should we roll for luck first?
Yes, ooh, roll for buzzing. Every time. Every time.
Oh,
let's do the recap. No, I'm going to roll the luck.
Because otherwise we'd forget I fucking pass as well.
Yeah, me too.
I wasted a 0-2.
Aww.
That's a shame.
Unfortunately, you also passed.
So did everybody pass then?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
No one
you
got any luck.
Right, I think... So basically...
It hurts you like my head is being gently hugged.
Aww.
Squeezed by the ears.
By a tiny, hairy... man.
No, by the headset we bought up for Christmas.
Alright. Yeah. No, by a tiny tea effigy. Someone tiny.
Cthulhu?
Yes, a tea effigy. A tea effigy of Mr. Flibble.
Come here, Mr. Flibble. So anyway, read the fuck cap.
Okay.
And that was a very Grimsby saying, I should point.
Where did we start last time?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Why do you think I know what you're doing?
I basically, very recently, worked out what I'm doing. I don't know. I've put the three lines in the wrong places. Which is a nuisance. Right, okay.
Snow!
thank you.
Oh, I think there was some snow, yes.
I don't know, she's landing.
It was wind. Lots and lots
of wind. I thought there was snow there as well.
No, not very much.
Okay.
Wind and rain.
Okay.
Right, so, I believe, we had gone back to, the museum after going to the library. to find out about Giovanni Timona, I think his name was.
Giovanni Timona. The man who supposedly bought what's-his-face's books and personal effects.
Medals.
He was a local historian.
No, medals went to the museum.
Oh, yeah, no, the medals went to the museum.
Because you've seen the medals.
Oh, yeah.
You've also noticed that one of them was missing.
Hmm.
Ah, yes. Still coming back to me.
Also, you need to speak up.
Okay.
So, we asked one of the kind of clerks in the museum, or was it the library?
Gianni was in the library.
No, yeah. It was after we'd left the library, I think.
The little old man was in the museum.
Yeah.
We asked him, Giovanni Timona's descendant was Marco, who still lived in the family house in the town.
Yes.
And they gave us his address. We looked in the library also for a picture of him and general things like that. We see suspicious men in fezzes with plump moustaches.
They do have plump moustaches.
Cultivating mass.
No toothbrush for them.
No.
Yeah.
We sampled the local fish dish.
Sardines in a red sauce. This doesn't sound that appetizing, if I'm honest.
We also tried to find the hotel that's mentioned in the diary where the guy who killed...
Winkleman?
Yeah, it's where Winkleman was staying, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, where he was staying and where he... the guy who killed him.
Look at the grande.
Yes.
Apparently it had been bulldozed.
But it had been knocked down and...
Did you manage to find out what had been built on the site? I thought you had.
The hotel, wasn't it?
Yes. It is the Hotel Garni, which has been renamed Hotel Vinoli.
Vinoli, yes. Because we asked the taxi driver and he had no idea.
Well, you were asking him for Locanda Grande.
Yes.
Which was the problem. He was like, I have no idea.
So we asked one of the porters in our hotel.
Yes.
And he was like, really old. And he remembered that it's now the Hotel Vinoli.
Well, the new building is the hotel.
Yeah. So we asked the receptionist at our hotel to point us in the direction of the address of Marco Timona.
Yep.
So we were going to go and see him, see if he still had the diary.
Yep. And he did.
And he did.
Well, he's dead, but his son does.
Yes, his son.
Yeah.
He's only got one arm as well.
Yes, yes. Antonio Timona.
Yeah, I want quite sparse notes. Awesome notes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because you're Tiny Tim Boxley now and not Sadie. Yeah. Sadie's read like a fucking Jane Eyre novel. Tiny Tim Boxley's is, I haven't robbed anything yet. Tim was alright. This brandy's really good.
Tiny Tim has got two lines going, beds were rubbish, not good sleep, old staff noisy.
That really does sound like a Trump tweet. Let's be honest here.
Really bad beds. Really bad. Totally fake. Really bad beds.
Sad.
Not good beds.
So...
That's all getting good.
The issue with the diary is it's in ancient Greek.
Yes, it is.
Which?
None of us speak.
Yeah, none of you speak it. Except possibly say that you used to.
And Antonio has never had it, or it was too expensive to have translated.
Yes. Then you went to his translator and found out it was fairly expensive.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 40 euros, was it? Something like that?
50, I think we paid. 50. Anyway, so Antonio agreed to loan us the diary so he could get it translated.
Yep.
And we went to Marius Montanelli. I think I've spelled, is that right?
Montanelli.
Oh, Montanelli, okay.
Marcius Montanelli, yes. Who hasn't got, well, he has got legs, but they obviously don't work properly. He's got twitchy legs.
These people in this town just have no limbs.
These people in this town are on the front line of World War I.
That would make sense, that's why they have no limbs.
Certainly, I think you asked Tamina, and he was like, oh, yeah.
As we're leaving, after we've agreed to pay Monta really for the translation, Tim sees a guy with red hair, with a black streak, in the alleyway kind of opposite where we come out.
Yep. You've seen him before.
Red and black hair guy who's watching us in the library.
Yes.
And other places. But definitely in the library.
Yeah. As well as that weird guy who was just sort of watching him waiting for people to turn the pages for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the guy with no arms.
Well, he's got arms.
Oh, the arm-wrapped man. That's what he's described as.
Arm-wrapped man.
Wow. Tiny Tim Barsley's notes are just amazing.
Anyway, so two men wearing fezzes rush down the alley where this guy is seen by Tim. And then when we get across there, the alleyway is empty.
Yep.
And
there's a sound of a screeching old car.
There's a sound of a screeching car.
Probably not good for a guy with red hair with a black.
As we're peering around into the alleyway quite cautiously, two black shirts appear behind us and, you know, we are...
Oi, foreigner! Yes, why you...
Dicks.
We are called foreigners and chased off, basically.
Go away, foreigner! We don't need your foreign ways, you foreigner.
Make Italy great again.
Italy's already great. Il Duce says so. Great. Look at his tiny hands.
His ability to fold his arms properly at a sensible height.
I can't see you now, but I've crossed my arms.
Nod head.
No, that's not him nodding his head. That's him slowly choking because his arms are too high. I'm dying! Somebody help me! I don't remember how to uncross my arms!
How different the history of the world would have been if someone hadn't told him how to fold his arms fucking properly in time.
I clipped there. Things to remember. Doing an impression of Il Duce will cause me to become very loud indeed. So anyway, let's continue.
So after that, we seem to do quite a lot. But anyway, after that we went back to the museum, looked at the medallions.
Realised one was missing.
Basically walked back and forth between the museum and the library. We did a lot of going back and forth.
You did also... Did you look up Napoleon? I don't think you did. Did you? No, you didn't.
No, I don't believe so.
I think we tried, but we failed.
We tried and failed.
The library.
Yeah.
Because, Italian. No lingo.
Well, you had Gianni helping you, but that still didn't work out.
Still, yeah.
Or Gianni.
Yeah, didn't he bring in like a lot of stuff about a horse called Napoleon?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You weren't very specific, is the problem, I think.
We all then went to the temple outside.
Randomly went and had a look at that again. And the frieze. And everybody was like, those dragony things are really well carved, but the humany things, hang on a minute, the humany things are very well carved, they're just very well carved and wrong.
Right, at this point, old staff decided to go back to the library to look up dragons in myths and legends and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been having some interesting dreams as well.
Yes.
And everyone else goes back to the hotel.
Yes.
He also looks up Napoleon's army, what they did in Trieste, but he doesn't find anything.
Nope. So that's still outstanding.
Yeah.
And when we were in the museum, we noticed one of the medal things was missing.
Yes.
The next day after breakfast, we phoned the translator and arranged to collect the translation at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
Which we wait for and then go.
And I assume that's where we're up to now.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got written down caverns at Adelsberg, and I've no idea why.
Adelsberg,
sorry, yeah.
I don't know either. Did you, I believe I've given you the handout from Winkleman's diary.
Yes.
Oh, it might be from that.
And I believe you've read it.
Oh, it might be from that then.
Well, if you would care to read it out aloud again, that would be great.
Yes, I've completely forgotten what was in it.
It didn't seem to mention Heidelberg.
Is that the one? I think that was it. Oh yeah. In ancient Greek dialect. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yes. The caverns of Adelsberg is where the things made him take the amulet from.
Oh, okay.
So we don't remember this.
Would you like to read it then?
Yeah, we read it. Okay. You may have been very
I might have passed that.
Yeah, you might be asleep.
Yeah, that makes sense then. Wilkerman's diary in ancient Greek dialect. 3rd May. The Tabatov, indecipherable, is correct. And I have travelled to Regensburg and spoken with the things there.
It was Regensburg to Adelsberg.
They have compelled me to carry an amulet to another enclave near Tergest in Austria. I am warned not to approach without the amulet, lest I be destroyed. They need this amulet for some dark plan of their own. I fear it will aid them in releasing that which they serve from its frozen Arctic prison. 15th May. I curse those beasts, and I curse myself for seeking them. Each night the dreams return, and I get no peace. I do not know how to go on. The art which has been my life is dross, and my fellows but painted masks on grinning skulls. I wear my mask too, and talk of art, but beauty has gone from the world, and my words are ashes in the wind. 1st June. Arrived safely in Tergest. The dreams that have haunted me since Regensburg continue. My one hope is that after I have handed on the amulet, the dreams will stop. 2nd June. Met a native, Arcangeli. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Arcangeli. A fellow who promises some diversion. More importantly, though, certain signs and words he gives me... He is to believe that he knows these entities and can guide me to their lair. 3rd June. I cannot trust Arcangeli. He has asked to see the amulet as a sign of my appointment as a carrier, but his manner is sly, and I suspect that he would prefer to carry the amulet himself. I have stalled him. Without his help, I cannot reach them. 5th of June. In my despair, I weakened and made the ritual and spoke to the thing that came and learnt from whence it came. The beasts know I am here with their amulet and tell me to bring it with them to their lair or incur their wrath. I am sick of to the heart. 6th June. I managed to give that rogue Arcangeli the slip and have hidden the amulet. I am certain now that he intends to steal it, as I came upon him searching my room. I shall have to wait until I am no longer watched and make my own way to the caverns of Adelsberg to deliver the amulet. I dare not go there without it. 7th June. Arcangeli continues to plague me, and I cannot recover the amulet without his notice. I have discovered that he, along with other locals who serve these beasts, attempt to steal every occult item that passes this way, and make thereof offerings to please them. I fear they will find the amulet, denying me the opportunity to fulfil my appointed duty, and these dreams will never cease.
So, that suggests a possible location for other things you might be looking for.
Yes, but now we just need to find this amulet, because apparently without the amulet we can't go near there.
Well, you totally could, but you may be destroyed. So, I believe it probably took you 2 hours or so to read the translation.
Hmm.
So we did that at the hotel?
Yes. So it's now sort of mid-afternoon-ish. About 3 o'clock.
Right, okay.
So where would he have hidden this amulet?
Well, he said he couldn't retrieve it without the guy seeing him.
Hmm. So it could have been at the old hotel, but that's been torn down.
The diary specifically remarks that he caught Arcangeli searching his room.
Ah, so it probably wasn't there because he found it there.
If it was in the hotel, Arcangeli could probably have found it. Certainly, he would have found it after he'd murdered Winkleman.
Yeah.
Also, if it was in the hotel, Winkleman could probably have got it without Arcangeli noticing.
Hmm. So somewhere else. Where else did he go?
We don't know.
Hmm.
He eats out a lot, according to the diary, but that means nothing.
Hmm.
He was travelling. He's hardly likely to go and commandeer somebody's kitchen and cook his own food, is he?
No. Particularly as this is in 1765.
Indeed.
So if you wanted to hide a thing, where would you hide it? If you weren't going to hide it where you lived?
The church?
Probably bury it. Hide it in plain sight, a library or a museum.
Do we have any idea of what it looks like?
You know, it's an amulet. You know its approximate size, judging by the case that it was in. Incidentally, I held my fingers about 3 inches apart. unfortunately, I didn't back this Kickstarter at the level where I'd have a proper metal one that I could hold on. couldn't afford it, sadly. But, yeah, big amulet.
It's pretty big.
It's definitely not the one in the stone one in the temple. It's gonna be silly.
That's made out of marble.
Yeah, so you can't just, like, cover it in something and put it there.
They made that afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a bit weird to have a thing on his tomb when he was still alive.
But we would have a tomb while he was still alive.
Exactly. Mm. It'd be a bit weird.
Yes.
It would be a little strange to have your tomb before you're dead.
Yes.
Unless you're, like, the fucking pharaoh.
Mm.
Where you kind of had to get started on it early so that it was done.
Yeah, I don't think one can win's no pharaoh. No. So, if he's buried it, it could be anywhere.
Good.
Hmm. Definitely somewhere he could retrieve it from as well.
Somewhere he could find again easily, because he wouldn't want it to lose it.
Hmm.
There are no clues in the diary anywhere about where he thinks safe places are to hide things.
No, doesn't seem like there is.
We gave a lot of the stuff to the museum. The museum was...
He didn't.
Well, then afterwards.
He gave it to his waiter, I think.
Yeah, most of his personal effects went to a waiter at the hotel. The remainder of his stuff was sold and went to Mona, so like books and such. And then the medallions went to the museum. Well, says the inspector, I think what it's pretty obvious is we need to do some more research.
Mm. Yes.
We don't have enough to go on.
Mm.
If we're just going through a process of elimination, at the moment we have no idea where he could possibly have hidden the diary. Trieste is not a small place.
Yes. Yes.
What we do know that Arcangeli didn't get it.
Yes. Presumably it's still where it was hidden.
What?
Well, the amulet. It's got to be where it was hidden. So
right.
We just need to figure out what was around back then that's still around now.
Yeah.
That he might have hidden it in.
Unfortunately, says the inspector, that could be half of this town. Hmm. Well, this is a very old place.
Well, a lot of ground to cover, but at least we have to start on the process of elimination.
Mm. I think you may be on a hiding to nothing there, though.
Mm. Perhaps, but... Well, what else can we do?
Well, they could have only hidden it really in the public bits, couldn't they?
Yes.
Because you can't go break in someone's house to... Well, you could go break in someone's house to hide an amulet, but I don't think he's really the type.
Well, no. Plus, you'd have trouble getting it back again.
Well, no, you just break back in again, don't you?
Well, yes.
I can do it.
Yes.
We haven't actually been to the cathedral yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's worth taking a look.
Problem is, it's a fucking cathedral. If you hit it in the cathedral, that's a lot of places you could hit in it.
Hmm.
Why would you leave all of your stuff to a random restaurant worker?
Yeah, weird.
It's a random waiter in the hotel he was staying in. And more importantly, it's only random because he doesn't mention his, shall we say, relationship with him.
God, he wrote a whole diary and didn't mention it.
No, of course he didn't. He worked for the Pope.
Yes, and remember the time.
It's right in ancient Greek. No one reads that.
Well, the gentleman we decide to translate it does.
I guess.
You are all currently sitting in one of the rooms, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Good commentary, Siri. What is she even saying, oh, no, to?
She thinks we said incorrect.
Incorrect.
Sorry about that. Anyway, so you're all currently in one of the rooms, correct?
Yes.
Good. She causes more editing than we do now. Anyway, so what are you doing? Anything? Nothing? But anyway, what the fuck are you all doing?
We don't know. That's
we're
the
trying
problem.
To figure out how to figure out stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, back to to the figuring out how
I mean, generally, the figuring out stuff involves going to the library, but we've already been to the library and not found anything, and plus it's a library, it's really boring.
Because none of you managed to find anything out about Napoleon, or for that matter, the thing you're actually here for.
Well, we looked up about that Winkerman guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you found no mention of any parts of the Sedefgar Simulacrum at all so far.
Hmm. Did we try specifically looking for the stuff about the Sedefgar Simulacrum?
No, but you know it came with Napoleon's army?
Hmm. You don't know which bit we're looking for.
No, but it could be a head, an arm, or a leg, I think. Because you've got a leg, an arm, a torso.
Yep.
What about then? There's the Commercial and Nautical Academy. There's a Museum of Antiquities.
That's the one you've been in.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought we'd been in the... Alright, that's...
You've been...
That's next to the...
That's next to the mausoleum.
Okay, that's slightly confusing.
So I guess we've probably got to go fail at reading more books.
Yep, I guess so.
Okay then.
Good. Joy.
In which case, I assume you're looking up Napoleon again?
Yes, let's try again with Napoleon.
I also assume you get Gianni to help you.
Yes, and specify this time, Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yes, and his armies.
And his armies.
Specifically in this town.
Yes.
Somebody make me a library use roll, then.
I can do that. Again. So can I do that again?
Yeah.
You might have to do this again. It's a different day.
Can I help?
Either of you can do it.
Old stuff out of the library 70.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I'll roll you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that is a... Let's check what the fifth of the 70s. 14. So it's not quite a fifth, but it is halved.
Okay. Which is good because doing it through a translator is difficult.
Hmm.
You managed to find something about which and normally it wouldn't, like, draw your eye, but it's very much like something that occurred in Venice.
Okay.
Please have handout number two.
Summary of findings of court-martial in French, dated 13th of September 1797. Chef du Bataillon Gaston Fusiel presiding. At the inquiry to the deaths of Sergeant André Legrand and Soldat Jules Heron, the following facts were determined by the tribunal. On 9th September, Sergeant André Legrand, Caporal Marshal Lassenier, and Soldat Jules Heron and Louis Cochefer from Legrand's unit were drinking in the tavern Il Capro Umbrico, the drunken goat, where they fell in with Marchetti. Witnesses present state that Legrand was very drunk. Caporal Lassenier and the two soldats went upstairs, where the tavern owner also ran a brothel. Upon their return, Legrand and Marchetti had disappeared. Legrand's body was found in a nearby alley a short time later. Witnesses stated it was common knowledge in the unit that Sergeant Legrand had acquired some valuable treasure in Paris. The item was kept in his kit. The bag had been in Legrand's possession at the tavern, but was missing when his body was found. Lassenier, Heron, and Cochefer sought Marchetti partially to avenge their sergeant, but also to recover Legrand's treasure. On 10th September, the three men found Marchetti drinking at Caverna di Oratelli, the Lizard's Cave Tavern. Interesting there. They waited until he left, then ambushed him, stunning him and dragging him to a cul-de-sac where they sought to extract the location of the bag. Witnesses stated that Marchetti at first denied having the bag, but after being beaten, confessed he had passed the bag and its contents to his master. Marchetti refused to reveal the name of his master, and a further beating ensued. It was at some time during the second beating that Marchetti's shirt was torn from his body. The facts from this point are unclear. Witnesses report hearing screams, followed by repeated heavy blows. The civil authorities were summoned, and upon investigation, Lassenier and Cachefer were found dazed and bleeding along with two bodies. One was the body of Heron, who appeared from Martin's throat to have been strangled. The other body was battered beyond recognition, but may have been the body of Marchetti. Lassenier claims that the body was that of a monster that strangled Heron before it was killed, meaning the subsequent damage to the body was caused by Cochefer beating it with a billet of wood. A blood-soaked billet was found at the scene. Cochefer was not able to testify. Doctors who have examined him conclude he is unlikely that his mind will ever return. The finding of this tribune is that Legrand was killed by civilian Marchetti in the course of a robbery. Heron was killed by person or persons unknown. The death of Marchetti is unconfirmed.
It seems kind of similar to the whole Venice court-martial burying in the church.
Yes. So, passed to his master at the Lizard's Cave?
Supposedly a tavern.
Yes, an interesting
name.
Which
would have been after Winkleman's time.
Interesting name for a cave.
Because he died 1768.
Are you alright? Was this after? Okay.
And 1797 is when this was dated. So, about 29 odd years. So it's possible that same place was around when Winkleman was here. Where that would be, you're less certain. That's taken you probably about an hour to dig up.
Okay.
So it's now about 4 o'clock in the
afternoon.
So it's pretty dark outside.
Right, so some guy had some treasure and some other guy stole it from him?
Yeah, probably a piece of the...
Certainly a piece of the Sedefgar Simulacrum was known to have been removed from Paris and come to Trieste. Well, coming this direction. And Smith seemed to be suggesting that it was in Trieste.
Yes. And was somehow linked to Winkleman. Because they said, specifically said to look up Winkleman.
Yeah, because Winkleman said that there was this gang of people who were taking the occult stuff. So would Marchetti be part of that gang?
That would make sense. He took it for his master.
Yeah.
Whoever that was.
And he wouldn't say who it was.
And then something happened because his shirt was ripped and he suddenly became a monster?
Yeah.
Something?
He totally hulked out.
A strangly monster thing.
Yes. Very strange. So it was
Mustache, sudden flashback of a cellar. Mad, insane music playing. And a monster. A monster at the piano. You too, Clarissa.
No.
Something non-human.
No.
He's having one of his funny moments.
I think I need a drink.
Yes, drink would be good.
Well, you could always sack off the rest of the day and go to dinner.
It's a little early for dinner, but, you know.
Well, no, true.
Some kind of afternoon beverage, maybe.
Yes. I think that would be spectacular.
Okay. You head off outside.
We can. I'm sure the other two can stay here if they want. Three, including the detective. Inspector. Even.
Oh no, the inspector will stay with you.
Okay.
So, where are we going?
I don't really care. Let's just get to a pub, shall we?
Yes.
Out of the wind.
Yes.
Says the inspector.
Find some alcohol.
You find a little, like, just a small taverna. You duck inside. Unfortunately, it's not very well sealed, so there's still a fair amount of wind getting in around the door. The little old man who runs the place comes over. He goes off and gets some probably plonk together.
Yeah.
Wax a few anemic fruits in it. Comes back and serves it to you. I won't have any clear head, you know, because he's waiting
down. Just for Julia said.
So you two settle down to drink.
Yes.
Going back to the rest of you, what are the rest of you doing? They've just fucked off to get drunk.
I don't know.
Did he just go slightly mad, talk to the inspector and run off to get drunk?
Yes, he did. He seemed to be having a moment after the whole monster reminder. But then so did Clarissa.
Yeah, they both run off and getting drunk sounds more fun, but is there anything else we should, like, do? I guess. Because we know there's this guy who stole stuff.
Ark and Joey. Who was broken on a wheel?
No, the one beginning with M.
Oh, Marchetti.
Yeah, as well. It's Marchetti and Ark and Joey now. Were they friends? Or not?
Well, Ark and Joey was 30 years before Marchetti.
They could still be friends.
And Ark and Joey was dead for those 30 years.
No.
It limits the possibilities.
How old was he when he died?
Not terribly old. Doesn't really say.
Because they could have been friends if he was old.
Yes, but also Marchetti wasn't terribly old.
Alright. Then they weren't friends. That's fine.
They may not have been friends. But they may have been working with the same master.
Well, they might have done, yeah. But I don't know how you find that out. Well, I mean, is there anything about these guys? They're probably not that exciting, are they?
I won't even make you wrong. There is no way you're going to be able to find out about a 17th century pimp and some dude who got beaten up with a bit of wood.
Yeah.
Well, they're not that important in the grand scheme of things to everybody other than you guys.
I have an idea, but I'm not there now. So
what do you think?
No, you're busy getting drunk with the inspector and Clarissa. Yeah. Old staff? What do you think, old staff? No.
Thinking.
Too busy making noise when you sleep.
Okay.
Old staff is a noisy sleeper. It is in my notes.
Yeah. That's true.
Sarita has strange dreams about lizards in caves.
Yeah. Lizards in caves. That was also, like, in that last bit of writing.
Yeah, it totally was.
Yes.
Maybe you should dream extra hard, right? And then try and zoom out a bit and see where the cave is, and then we'll go there.
Zoom out a bit?
Yeah.
The future.
Well, like you sort of look at where you are, right? And then you go backwards really fast and go like, zoom.
How much of my dreams do I actually remember? Do they feel relevant?
You have no way of telling. They're certainly fecking terrifying, though. And there's a ginormous monster thing howling at you and all these lizardy, dragony things about the place.
I want to say something, but I can't.
Because you're off getting drunk with the inspector and bloody.
Should we just give up and go get drunk and talk to them? Because I bet this library's going to close soon if it's like 5 o'clock.
4 o'clock. Well, yes, it is closing soon. Closes at 4:30. So are you leaving? Staying? Getting to Charleston?
Of anything to look up at all? You want to look up dragons?
You've already done that one.
You didn't find
anything.
That worked and you didn't find anything, okay. Lizards?
Well, you could spend the next hour, half an hour, looking at pictures of lizards in the Encyclopedia Italiary.
I probably won't, because my library users aren't very good.
No, you'd probably end up looking at book after book of dinosaurs and going, wow, these lizards are big, I don't want to go wherever they live.
I'll just get stuck in the L section, because I assume that lizard begins with L in Italian as well, and it probably doesn't. Okay.
Oh, I can't remember. But anyway, are you actually doing anything of use, or are you just going to quibble for the last half an hour and then go and find the others?
Probably the latter.
Yeah.
Okay, you quibble for half an hour. Half an hour passes and these two come back in.
Was there anyone weird around?
Actually, make me a spot hidden as you're walking through the street.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'm thinking I can hear fireworks.
Yeah, lots of fireworks.
It's the 12th of January. Why the fuck are there fireworks going off? No, with that.
Yep, I failed.
Old staff, you can roll as well.
Okay.
Somebody roll for old staff.
I can roll. I don't know what his spot hidden is.
My spot hidden here.
You roll a 71.
77
and a half. Oh, wow. Well, you're on the lookout for people following you now, and you notice two people paying you close attention. The first is that guy who was reading in the library the other day. The guy who was just sort of sat around waiting for people to change the books for him. And the other is, well, actually, for a moment you think, it's that guy with the red hair. And then you realise, no, it isn't, because this guy is shorter and fatter than that guy by a fair amount. So maybe a cousin, but he's got the red hair with the black bit in it. But he doesn't look like the other guy at all.
Are they wearing anything anything similar to like a badge or?
No.
Just look like random people.
No. The guy who was reading in the library looks a bit dishevelled, shall we say. Whereas the other guy, fairly podgy, slightly darkish colouring, apart from the red hair and the black bit. Fairly well padded, good suit.
Do you like subtly point them out at all or not?
Yeah.
Is wrapped arm man still got wrapped arms?
He's sort of got his hands in his pockets.
Alright. That guy is weird.
That guy is weird. That's exactly the sort of close-in investigation we need from a Cthulhu investigation.
Yep.
But anyway.
But instead you get Tim.
So you reach the cafe and join this lot. They're all sat about chatting. So, off you go. Chat away. I'm going to turn the wind off.
That's what that was.
Yes, the wind. There is wind everywhere in this town. So what are you all doing?
So I've just been looking in the guidebook. Mm-hmm. And it says there is a local cavern to Trieste, the Grotta Gigante.
Yes, it's a giant cavern system. Like, proper fucking huge.
Quite old.
It's a cave system, so yes.
I don't know if it's worth checking out.
If I had a psycho wanted to hide, it would be a good place. We'd just have to look away somewhere.
There is maybe one thing that's worth bearing in mind.
What's that?
Winkerman said he was supposed to go to a cave. He also said he was supposed to take something.
Yeah.
The cave thing keeps cropping up as quite a common theme throughout this.
So if that's the same cave he had to go to, we probably didn't hide the thing there.
No, but he never got there, did he?
Yeah, he never got there.
So, if he died and someone else who was looking for it found the amulet, they might have taken it there.
Might have done. If they found it. But if they didn't and we go there without it, they might get cross. If they're still there. And not dead, because it was like ages ago.
What is that crinkly sound?
That is El Porcupino rustling something.
Sorry.
You sound like peanuts or something like that.
Beets.
Why are you rustling beets?
Because I'm sorting through them. Hobbycraft had a big sale on their clearance beets. The one usually cost $7.50 was only £2.
Wow.
But the downside is that I've got four big tubs of random beads, and I need to see if any of these are actually usable or not.
Okay. So we still think we need to find this thing before we go to the cavern.
What if the thing's in the cavern?
If the thing's in the cavern, then he would have taken it to them, and this would cease to be a problem. But he very obviously died before he got to the cavern.
But if someone else found the thing and took it there, because there were people looking for it.
Yes, in theory.
But I guess if we can work out where he hid it, and then if it's not there, then we can assume they did that.
The more important thing is that the person who was looking for it was Arcangeli, who, the day after Winkerman died, was broken on a wheel.
Yeah, but if he had a master,
they'd have had, like, other minions too.
Who do we think the master might have been?
I don't know.
Someone important that they were too scared to betray.
Or it was like a prostitute and the pimp thing was just a cover.
What? I go to Napoleon, you go to prostitutes.
Ark and Jelly was a pimp.
Could still be Napoleon.
Could be.
Bit of a stretch.
So anyway...
No, it wouldn't be Napoleon, because if he had all that like stuff on his horses, he could have stolen it off him and wouldn't have to do this in the first place.
So then... Don't worry, we're still mostly waiting for a plan to achieve.
Okay, yeah. We're all in the cafe now. Oh. Failed to think of anything to look up, so decided to sod it. We'll come join you.
Fair enough, then.
Yeah, so far, what have we worked out?
Nothing.
Pretty much,
yeah.
The question, like, it's a good question, is who was Arcangeli's master?
Yes.
And Bigamy's master?
Marchetti.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is figuring that out. The thing is, if it's who we think it is, we need to find the cavern, but we need to find the amulet to get near the cavern.
Without being destroyed.
Without being destroyed.
Wait, so, who do we think it is?
Well, one of these lizardy people?
Oh, right, yeah, lizardy monster cavern.
Yes.
Place, right.
Lizard's cavern.
Okay.
The first thing we have to do is find the amulet. Which means figuring out where Winkleman hid the amulet.
In Trieste.
That no one's been able to find for...
Well, no one's really been looking for it, I suspect.
I feel like I've missed something really obvious here.
Oh, join the club. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, oh well, that would spoil things.
Well, currently, you're all sat in a tavern drinking.
Drinking is good. I like drinking.
Drinking and thinking.
Drinking and sort of thinking.
Well.
Or if the beasts live in the local cavern.
Yeah.
And the local people were serving them.
Does anyone have geology, by the way?
I don't even know why I'm looking.
If so, you can make a roll on it, or on the 1% that everybody's got.
I can't see geology on there.
In which case, you probably don't have it then.
Nope. Would it be that under science or something?
It would be science geology, yes.
Right, yeah.
No.
Either anybody would like to make a 1% chance roll, you could pick up some science geology on the next set of rolling.
Okay, why not? 1% chance.
No.
You might get close enough to lock it.
Surprisingly, Tim knows nothing about geology.
Nope.
Anyone else having a go?
Yeah, give it a shot.
I rolled for you. You're 19.
Hooray!
You and Rox, you're passing friends. Clarissa?
No, I rolled 27.
So, nobody knows anything about Rox.
Well, what we could do is look up for local legends about a cavern.
The guidebook has already told you a bit about caverns.
There is a cavern that's got lots of long stalactites.
Well, I suppose that's it, but then how do other people go near it without being destroyed?
The Grotta Gigante, which is the one you're referring to, is 3 miles northeast of Trieste and is rumoured to be the largest cavern open to tourists in the world. Given it is open to tourists, makes it unlikely to be the place you're looking for.
No, because this meant the diary extract mentions the caverns at Adelsberg.
Which is not Karst.
Not Karst?
Karst is the Grotta Gigante.
Ah.
Right.
Okay, so we know roughly where the grotto is, right? So now we know Adelsberg, wherever Adelsberg is.
Unfortunately, the library is now closed, so you can't look up Adelsberg.
Well, no, but again, that's a moot point because we know where the amulet is.
True.
Oh, let's think. Okay. Couldn't have left it at the hotel. Didn't leave it at the museum. could have left it at the cathedral. I mean, he did work for the Pope.
The door opens, and the guy who was sat reading in the library comes in.
Unwrapped man.
Yeah, he's got his hands in his pockets.
I'll try not to stare too obviously, but probably fail.
Well, he's staring at you, so...
Oh, I'll stare back. I know I won't.
He sort of wanders over to your table and looks around and then goes, and jerks his head as if to suggest you should come with him.
Okay, fair enough then.
Okay, fair enough, says old Steph. Everybody, Tim, Clarissa, the inspector, and old Steph all look at you like, what?
Do you have any better ideas? I nod and stand up.
Alright, I'll get up as well. If Wolf Stash is going, I'll follow. It's probably
he
for a good reason.
He leaves and starts walking along.
Follow him.
I'll follow, but a bit further back, like sort of watching.
The inspector's keeping up with you. Mm. Are you certain this is a good idea?
Well, we don't have any other ideas, eh, boy.
Well, yes, but at the same time, this is definitely not a good idea.
I'm been drinking.
Yep.
I'm cripple lady. I do not have a good constitution.
Hooray! So, are you following?
I will be like...
Back with Tiny Tim?
I'll be trying to stand up, maybe.
Okay. Oh, yes.
What's going on?
Yeah, you've been in there an hour or so. Old Staff, are you going as well?
I'm not going to let him go on his own, but this is definitely not a good idea.
Oh, he's got Tiny Tim.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you going, man?
Gentlemen.
And he starts scurrying down little alleyways, and he's taking lots of twists and turns.
Following.
You, old Staff, Wolf Stash, and the inspector find it easy to keep up because you're right on him. Mm. You, however, Tiny Tim Boxley, and certainly Clarissa, will need to make me a tracking roll to keep up.
Oh dear.
I think there's tracking if there isn't used navigation.
Navigation.
I think I have navigation.
No, there is track as well.
There is track. There? In which case, use track.
Yeah.
They both have the same base. So.
Yeah, but Clarissa's got navigation.
No, I don't actually.
Well, in that case, Clarissa is double fucked.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim's. Got a look on his face that says, oh dear, we have lost them.
Yeah.
Have you lost them? Okay, so after about 2 or 3 minutes of this, you turn down an alleyway and it's a long straight alleyway. And you're like, oh, he's not on this alleyway. So you go back to where you just turned off and turn down the other way and go, oh, he's not down this one either. And then you walk like randomly in a few directions and end up basically where you started.
Alright.
Like, oh shit, we've lost them. The rest of you, meanwhile, are scurrying along after this guy who stops every now and again and goes, and then eventually you get to this, it's in the older part of town, and he sort of draws you into this shitty building. It's pretty much derelict. There's loads of... Like, if it was any less windy and horrible, it looks the sort of place where there'd be ladies standing on the street corners and pimps everywhere, but it's cold. He brings you inside and shrugs off his coat. Make me medicine rolls.
I have 0-1 in this.
Okay then.
So does Old Staff.
Excellent.
Okay, so.
Do you need the night medicine?
Nope. And Old Staff. You actually got a 0-8 Old Staff, so if you want to spend 7 luck, you can pass this. It's up to you. I think you're on 56 luck at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's really that important, though. I'll go on then.
Yeah, okay. As he's taking his coat off, you realise he has no hands.
Well, I think it's a medicine roll for that.
You need a medicine roll for this next bit. He's also, as he turns to wave you in with the stump of his hand, you notice he also has no tongue. And in both cases, there is signs that these have been melted off. They haven't been cut off, they have been melted. Interestingly, it doesn't look terribly dissimilar to the wounds that were on Sadie's chest.
Ooh, fuck.
He waves you further into what you assume is his home, and then, using his stumps, gathers up a huge amount of paper and shoves it into your arms. Have a hand up.
Okay.
He's sort of gesturing at you and waving his arms wildly, but you're not entirely certain what he's trying to tell you.
Monsters of some kind.
Actually, I need to check if he speaks English. Because this could be very fucking funny if he doesn't.
Wow.
Ah, excellent. Yes, he does understand English. Do either of you speak German?
No.
In which case, you can't read that that handout yet.
Okay, I didn't really look at it, so don't worry. This is going to be something with writing on it.
Yeah, you recognize it in
German?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely all in German.
It's German. I don't speak German. Do you speak German on stuff?
I don't speak German, no.
I don't speak Bosch either, says the inspector.
Oh, right. We can't read German. We will take it to one of our friends who does. We should go somewhere. Yes, leave now. Yes, we'll leave now. We leave now.
You leave his house, and he sort of comes to the door and looks at you and goes,
okay.
And you sort of leave him standing in his door. He looks furtively about and slams it shut.
Okay. Don't we now have to try and make our way back to, well, the bar, I guess?
Okay. Make me navigation checks.
It's gonna be fun.
You two. Where are you two going back to? Tiny Tim, Botsley, and Clarissa. Because you've lost that.
Old stuff, you have 51 in navigate.
Okay. Old stuff's fucking good at navigating.
Okay. Do we both have to roll, or?
No, just one.
Okay.
Alright.
So you head back to the hotel.
Yeah, half that.
Okay. You get back to the cafe relatively easily. They aren't there.
Hotel, do you think?
Getting back to the hotel is negligible at that point.
Okay.
Make me a spot hidden.
Okay. I pass, and...
You notice a Turkish businessman sort of walking down the street, reading a paper and sort of glancing at you as he goes.
I've already ticked spot hidden.
Okay.
I still need to tick your navigate though for your stuff.
I've ticked it.
Okay. You handle your ticks, that's fine.
So you all gather back at the hotel. By the time you get back there, it's about 6:30, maybe 7:00. Outside, the wind is fucking roaring, but you can't hear it in here. And you can see some of the early birds heading down into the dinner. But you don't have to go yet. It keeps going until like 10 at night.
Okay. Do either of you speak German, by any chance?
No, sorry.
Well,
can you get him off?
Yes, no, that was a silly thing, wasn't it, Tim? Oh, dear.
Well, shit.
Okay.
I bet Sadie did.
No. Betsy does.
Drat.
Oh, does she?
No, I don't know if she does, but probably.
Just for the sake of my amusement, let's have a look.
If she does, you can ask her to read it for you.
Yes, she does.
She reads it for you.
Okay.
She's been bored all day because she's been sat looking after a giant box full of
evil. Italian, German, French.
Yeah, she's your linguist.
Yeah, and she's not here.
Sadly.
Okay. Fragments from Helmut Grossinger's journal in German. Going back to Roman Tertegest, though von Juntz suggests that the cult may have been a survival from far older times. Next extract. Seemed to prefer living, dwelling, in caverns beneath the surface. The plentiful karst cavern formations in this vicinity, the name is derived from Grast, the Slovene name for the area, would provide ideal... Next segment. From some other place, Andromeda Nebula, Divermis Mysterious. They can manifest as... Next fragment. Human fish, visible through the skin. Internal organs.
You, and you, visibly shake. At that point.
Pulsing and glistening. Experiment. Gathanthoa. Still others are thought to worship the wind walker Ither. Next fragment. Overheard them discussing some task which their masters had given the cult many years ago, as yet unfulfilled. Unspecified punishments were... Next fragment. Fingers, toes, eyes, limbs. Next fragment. Grafted onto the body. Next fragment. May move of their own volition or at the will of... Next fragment. Ordered to keep alert and to procure any artifacts that might have magical power to offer to the invisible end.
That was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who is this Helmut Grossinger is the question.
You have no idea.
Well, that's something we can look up tomorrow.
Anyone want to play a Cthulhu Mythos role?
Yes.
No.
I've got six. No, and Oldstaff has 9.
Yeah, because Oldstaff keeps reading books.
Oldstaff, you want to spend 1 luck and pass that?
Hell yes. I mean, yes.
Right. You're fairly certain that this guy is probably the German equivalent of you lot.
Oh.
Why can't I take Cthulhu Mythos?
Because Cthulhu Mythos is not a skill you can increase naturally.
Also, you had to spend luck to pass it anyway, so...
Yeah, so you still wouldn't have been able to take it. Certainly, some of the things he's talking about, Divermis Mysterious is a book rumoured to have forbidden knowledge in it. So, yeah, you think he might be, like, a member of the German equivalent of the Foundation, maybe?
Well, yeah, sharing this with everyone, by the way.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, and he's friends with them red black hair guys. And one of them got stolen by the Fez guys.
How do you figure that?
What do you mean?
Well, how do... So what, you think the man with the red hair was an investigator of some kind?
Well, he was... They were standing together, weren't they? When they were watching us?
Who?
Or were they separate? The reptile man... Oh, they're separate, okay.
The reptile man and red hair with a black streak were separate.
Okay.
Maybe we should try and approach this gentleman in the library tomorrow, because he's been there every time, hasn't he?
He seems to want to ensure that no one saw us together, so I don't think approaching him in a public place like that would be of much help.
Ah, okay.
It depends on what else he could do. I mean, there's not a great deal else he could tell us. The poor man can't write or say anything, so...
Yes, because his hands and tongue have been melted off.
Yes.
To that very end.
Yes, presumably yes, that would explain why. Very good way of making sure no one can say anything without the, why you wouldn't just kill them. It's not like it's much less conspicuous to do that to someone.
Why would he leave him alive?
Punish him, maybe? Pretty horrible way to have to live.
Something about this
old boy.
Isn't quite adding up.
Oh, don't worry. I'll put a bullet in your head. Don't worry.
Good man.
Says the inspector.
Good. Yes, it's a bit... Well, it does...
I would also say we should err on the side of caution. If he is like us, I don't really want to end up in that state myself.
Yes.
If he's like us, I don't want to end up like him.
So, sorry, are you saying this is his diary?
I don't know if it was him. Certainly it's...
It's quite singed and burnt. Around the corners.
It could well be him. Someone he knew.
Is there any indication of what year it's talking about?
Does it look old?
It's not particularly faded, it's just burnt.
Could we hazard a guess at this gentleman? His age?
Late 30s, early 40s?
Gosh, so this is quite recent then.
But he could be younger, and just living a shitty, shitty life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that bit I think is a fair guess.
Depending on how badly it's aged him, he could be, like, in his 20s.
Jesus.
But did his wounds look, like, old? Like, they completely healed him?
They looked completely healed, but that's because you're beginning to wonder whether they were achieved by natural means. Because your medicine knowledge tells you that doesn't happen. It's surprisingly difficult to melt off somebody's tongue without, you know, burning their face.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you melt off somebody's hands, you probably have, like, charred stump and bits of bone, which he didn't have. He almost had smoothed over stumps. It looks a lot more like somebody... It looks more like somebody with, like, doing casts in wax.
And the diary says about taking limbs and putting them somewhere?
It does. Fingers, toes, eyes, limbs grafted onto the body may move of its own volition or at the will of...
And we've had lots and lots of ideas that the dragons keep resurging through this investigation. And a cavern and bringing shiny trinkets.
Yep.
You mentioned to guest.
That's the old name for Trieste.
Ah.
In fact, it's the same name that Winkleman used for it.
Ah.
Maybe we should go and have some dinner and think it over with a bit of food in us, eh?
Yes, says the inspector. Dinner, I think. Yes.
Yes, good idea.
Okay. You all head down to dinner? Are you leaving Izzy upstairs still?
Yeah, well,
you can send her up a plate.
We'll send her up later.
Maybe she's ill.
Yes.
And that's why we're just leaving her in the room all the time.
Yes. That's why. Okay. Unfortunately, you're about halfway down the stairs. You're about halfway down the stairs when all the lights go out. And there's and then from downstairs here, do not worry, I believe perhaps the power lines have come down in the wind, it is okay, we will, and people start lighting oil lamps and candles, and the staff are going here, there, and lighting all the candles up. Eventually you can see enough to get down the stairs, when you look out through the main doors, everywhere's dark, so it looks like maybe a tree's fallen on the transformer or something. However, the kitchen seems to still be all working, the joys of cooking with gas. And the smells coming out from there is absolutely amazing. And everything looks very pretty in the dining room. Obviously, by the time you lot have come down, quite a lot of people have left already. There's maybe three or four tables with people on them. Obviously, they've left your big table that you have for breakfast set up. So you can go and sit down over there.
Mm-hmm.
Buongiorno. I hope you had a pleasant stay in Trieste today.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like me to bring the wine list? We are doing a full five-course meal today, if you are interested.
Intriguing.
Obviously, it is mostly delicacies of the Trieste region, yes? I guess you all sat down and start putting out many, 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 many sets of, like, cutlery. You end up with, like, three sets of cutlery on either side of your plate. It's amazing. So they start with a very nice soup. They come out, big tureen of it, and ladle it all up into your things. Very pleasant. It's a bit spicy, but it's sort of a fishy, tomato-y soup.
Alright, I'm guessing the spoons, that's all the switch thing to use.
Yeah.
That's alright.
It looks like a soup spoon.
That's fine. If it looks like a spoon, we're good.
Yeah, they start coming over to bring out the fish. You're all feeling a little bit uncomfortable, right? It's like you're getting like pains in your shoulders.
Oops, I think this soup has given me a funny turn.
Yeah, it's like your shoulders are starting to ache. Make me spot hidden. Throw your dice on the floor. That works too.
That was a 99.
Yeah, you've got really painful shoulders. And that dude over there is having some weird fish.
Nothing for me. Old staff passes.
Okay. Anybody else pass?
Yep.
So, the rest of you are sitting around the table. And you're going,
what's that guy eating?
Old staff, the table is at least 2 inches off the floor.
Say what?
The table is no longer in connection with the floor. It is floating at least 2 inches from the floor, and your shoulders are all aching because you're effectively leaning up. The whole table crashes down to the floor.
Oh.
Everybody okay. In the thing looks around. What's going on?
It's strange.
Somebody make a sanity check for old staff, who's the only one who noticed what was happening.
70 is 35.
Dear.
No, you passed that, fine.
Zero cents.
Okay.
Either, what's the old-fashioned phrase for off my tits?
the head waiter comes rushing over. Is there some kind of problem? What is going on?
I am quite big, rather large. Joseph Brandy Goodman, please.
Oh, of course. Did you stand up and catch your knee on the table or something?
Yes, that's definitely what happened. I
okay.
Cramp in my leg.
Excellent. I will bring the brandy. Who is having the beef and who's having the chicken?
I will have the beef, please.
Beef or chicken? The chicken is very good. It is a herb crust.
All right.
Chicken. Yeah.
Beef or chicken?
Beef.
Chicken. Beef. Chicken. Beef. Yes. Okay. And he rushes off and comes back later with this massive brandy.
For Once he's gone, I will take a swig of my brandy and kind of like that. Eyes water a little.
Yeah.
Something very, very, very odd just occurred. What odd than usual? We were levitating.
I'm sorry, what?
We were levitating the table, the chairs, everyone, everything.
Actually, it was just the table, not the chairs. Hence why your shoulders were hurting.
Oh, okay. I get it. The table was levitating.
What now?
I think you're talking shit, says the inspector.
That seems unlikely. Why would the table levitate?
I have no idea, but when I noticed it, it stopped.
Level what?
And it came crashing back down.
Floating.
Did you not notice that we were reaching up to the table?
No, but that guy over there has some really interesting fish. They're not going to give us any interesting fish, are they?
Sore.
Well, they did bring you interesting fish.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, they brought you fish.
Yeah.
But it was slightly marked by the fact that the table was levitating. So yeah, they bustle out and they bring you all the beef and the chicken that you've requested. The chicken is like in a garlic and herb glaze. The beef, weirdly, is in very, very thin slices.
Hmm.
Very thin. We're talking less than a millimetre thick.
Oh, my.
But many of them, very artfully folded. It's very nice vegetables. Tiny tin.
Origami beef. Sorry.
I've actually eaten this stuff. It's amazing. Tiny tin. You took it into your dinner, occasionally glancing over at that guy. He's having weird fish. And you put your chicken in your mouth and you chew, and it's that's a bit weird. A bit more. And you're fairly certain that the chicken is moving. Then you look down at your plate and you cut through part of the chicken and there's all these worms and stuff dropping out of the end. You've still got a mouthful that seems to be moving in your mouth.
I am spitting that out right now.
Okay. And Tiny Tim Boxley spits food out all over the table. Make me a sanity check.
And probably jumps up and runs away from the table as well. Yeah, pass.
Okay, no sanity loss for you. Incidentally, once you've spat it out, it's all just normal.
You're right there, Timothy.
I don't like it.
Oh. Well, be more discreet. You don't want to offend the cook.
Would you anybody care for wine?
Yeah.
Obviously, we discuss white wine for the chicken, red wine for the beef.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Excellent. He comes back and curses you all out wine. You continue eating. Okay.
I'm not sure I'm going to be eating anymore. Something weird is going on here.
Okay, so you're sort of sitting there staring at your plate in confusion and a little bit of worry. I assume you're eating.
Yes.
I'm going to be very much studying everything and cutting it into lots of little pieces and checking it's fine before I eat it.
Yeah, everything seems to be fine.
I'm just kind of watching everything going on around me at this point. There is... my table was levitating, and no one else seemed to have noticed.
Some of the people on the other table have started staring at you occasionally, because you're making a bit of a scene, if we're honest. Wolfstash, you put your knife down to take some of your wine. You reach down and pick up your knife, and your skin sticks to it, because it is freezing cold.
Mm.
And it starts rising into the air, and you have to stand up because it drags you into the air with it.
Can I try and resist that at all?
Do you want to make me a strength check?
Yeah, I'll do a try.
Tell me if you one-fifth it.
Don't quite, no.
You get dragged into the air, and then you stand there with this steak knife still stabbing the air. As you're stabbing into the air, like, blood is springing up all over your hand. And then suddenly, the knife falls out of your grip to the floor. Make me a sanity check. All of the rest of you make me a sanity check. And people around the restaurant are now going, what is going on over there? Well, he's trying to stab me. What's he done to his own? Pass was that.
Pass.
You lose 1 point.
Yeah.
You lose no points. Old staff, even. And, Arissa, did you pass?
Old staff, yeah.
No points for you.
Old staff fails.
Old staff fails, oh dear. Old staff loses, 2 points of sanity. What the hell are you doing, man, says the inspector. Sit down. What have you done to your hand?
What have I done? I look at my hand.
Your hand is covered in blood.
Do I have a wound? It's wiped off.
Wiping, and there is no wound on your hand, and then you realise the blood that you've wiped off isn't on your other hand either. It's not there at all.
Something very strange is happening.
All of the wine glasses are starting to fill. And they're starting to fill with red liquid. Oh, well, it's a lot of red liquid, and it doesn't look like wine.
Oh, dear.
And they start spilling out over the top. And everybody in the room is now looking at you and going, no, 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 and getting up and leaving. And the waiter is trying to fight his way through. And this huge pool of blood starts appearing in the centre of the table from your wine glasses. Like, it's pumping up out of the wine glasses. You all need to make me sanity checks. As this blood swirls in the centre of the table.
I failed that one.
1 point.
Oh, dear Lord. Ulstaff just rolled a 100.
1 point.
I passed.
And Ulstaff, you go, ah! And gets up from the table and run off. Right, the rest of you are treated to the picture of this, like, blood swirling in the centre of the table and becoming a shape. It looks like a face surrounded by vine leaves or grapes. Anyone got archaeology, history or occult who's still at the table?
I have all of those.
I have 35 in occult.
Make a roll. I don't know why I'm even looking at you, Tiny Tim.
But we've all got a 5 in, like, one of them.
See, the thing is, I could spend 7 luck and pass that, but I'm only on 23 luck as it is.
Yeah.
Should I try rolling on my natural, like, 0.5?
You can, if you want. Are you going to spend the luck?
Fuck it, yeah, go on, why not?
Okay.
You know me.
I'll just wait to see if... Okay. So, the glasses are hovering in the air. The blood is just pouring out of them. And it's forming this face. And you are certain that, one, you've seen that face recently.
Okay.
And two, that it is supposed to be like Dionysus or Bacchus.
Mm.
Depending on whether you're Greek or Roman.
Yeah.
And then... the glass shatters and falls onto the table, and everything on the table is covered in spilled wine, just as the waiter comes over. And you remember, you have seen that picture of Bacchus. No, a similar picture of Bacchus. Not that picture, but a similar picture of Bacchus on Winkleman's 2. Similar, but not the same. It seems like Bacchus was important to Winkleman. The waiter comes over and goes, excuse me, are you having, some form of joke, perhaps? Our other guests, they are not so, pleased with your antics. If you could, maybe not, smash the wine glasses, that would be most helpful.
Indeed. Sorry, don't be sorry.
Yeah, so he sort of goes back to watching it. Everybody else is left by this point.
Yes.
There is still, incidentally, a knife on the floor by your foot.
You gently pick that up, put that on the table.
Pick it up. Perfectly warm. Drop it on the table. It's fine.
Yes. You know, I think we should maybe not have the rest of dinner. I think maybe we should stop there.
Right. You're sort of looking around, you notice that there is somebody else watching you. Sort of little guy, dressed in black, but pale, that looks at you and goes into the kitchen.
You never trust a chef.
Old staff, you've rushed upstairs to get back into your rooms. Do you go into your room or the room where, actually, is the simulacrum in your room? Or is it in Warstash?
With Warstash, I think.
Okay, well, do you go into your room or into Warstash's room?
Where did we leave Sadie?
Izzy.
Izzy, sorry.
In Warstash's room.
Go to her.
Okay, then. You come in through the door. Izzy is unconscious on the bed. All of the parts of the Sedefkar simulacrum that you have are arranged on the bed next to her, and at the foot of the bed is a body. Middle-aged, Turkish-looking gentleman. There's a fez over in one corner. His body's face down, but he's looking at you.
I close the door behind me very quickly, but they leave me inside the room with the corpse. And can I run over to Izzy and see if she's alive?
Yep. She's awake. Well, no, she's not awake. She's alive, certainly. She seems to be sound asleep.
Asleep, okay. She's not dead or harmed in any way, though.
No, she's asleep.
Can I not examine the body without touching it? Kind of. I've done this before, haven't I? This is actually completely in character. I know, I do examine the body.
Yeah. Right. He's holding what looks to be, in his right hand, he's got like a blackjack or a sap, and he's got an exceedingly broken neck.
Blackjack
or a sap, like a little leather bag filled with lead shot.
Oh, okay.
It's the sort of thing you use for knocking people out very quickly and very quietly.
Right. Okay.
He does have what looks to be, as you examine his pockets, it looks like he's got like a lockpick kit in his left pocket.
Do I recognise the gentleman?
No. He's not any of the Turkish chaps you've seen following you about.
But he is wearing the fez.
He did have a fez on, and, well, it's rolled off into a corner, but yes, he did have a fez on, and he looks pretty Turkish.
Not to be racist, but he was Turkish.
He's exceedingly Turkish, and exceedingly deceased.
Pieces.
Yep. They have been taken out of the crate and placed on the bed next to Izzy. In the right positions. So, body, arm and leg.
Can I push the crate over towards the bed?
Yep.
So it's next to it. And then kind of go around here and lift the duvet so the pieces fall into the crate? Without me actually
touching them? In theory, yes, but so will Izzy.
Oh, okay. Can I use like a pillow or something to kind of whack the pieces into the crate?
For the arm and the leg, yes. For the body, it's a little more difficult.
I have like a cane or something, or a...
Yeah, you can poke them into the crate eventually.
And then kind of kick the crate closed and then slide it with my foot away, like against the far wall.
Yep, you can do all of that.
Has anyone else come upstairs yet?
What are you lot doing? You've sort of left your dinner in a bit of disarray.
Well, a little pale guy was watching us and just went to the kitchen.
Yes.
Where's he going?
You don't know. He went into the kitchen.
Can I try and sneaky follow him?
Yeah, you sneak over to the kitchen door and open the kitchen and come face to face with the cook.
Hello?
English?
Yeah, dinner was great, thank you.
In Italy, no come in kitchen.
Okay, run away again.
There seems to be some complaining about the English. But yeah, you didn't see the little bloke in there.
Okay.
What are Wolfstash and Clarissa doing?
I think I'm just going to go back upstairs at this point. Okay. Dinner has been ruined. We've made to be look like fools.
Indeed. But possibly it was a supernatural influence. We should be on our guard, says the inspector. Clarissa, are you heading upstairs or are you staying downstairs?
I'm going upstairs.
Okay. You start heading upstairs, and when you get about halfway up the stairs, you suddenly feel yourself roughly pushed against the wall. And in your left ear, you hear the word Taj Bush. and then you're left alone. Although your shoulder's quite achy where you were pushed.
There's some very rude people here.
Well, you didn't see anyone.
Oh, there must have been somebody, because I felt them.
Yes, 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 that's exactly what must have happened. There must have been somebody, because you felt them. Are you taking a look at your shoulder? Or just giving it a quick rub?
There's nothing to see on my shoulder?
You have a mark, and you've got quite a big bruise on your shoulder, which is in the shape of the thing that formed in the blood. A face surrounded by vine leaves and grapes.
The dude from the museum.
Yes. Well, not exactly that picture. Similar. Certainly supposed to be the same person, but not the same picture. Not quite. By this point, you, Wolfstache, have reached the rooms.
Mm.
Which room do you go into?
My room.
Okay.
I am going to be standing behind the door.
This is going to be like Carry On Cthulhu, isn't it? Okay.
My foot jams underneath, and as the door kind of clicks, I go, "Who's there?"
It's me. What are you doing?
Oh, washed up, washed up, washed up. Come in, come in.
Okay.
As he walked through the door, I completely failed to warn him.
Yeah, there's a dead body on the floor.
Oh, good lord. Good lord.
Well, you're fairly certain he's dead. He's either dead or really, really badly injured. Like, very badly injured indeed. He's probably
he's
dead.
Very flexible.
Did you do that?
Of course not. What do you take me for, man? You were like that when I came
where
in.
Where are you going, Clarissa?
I'm going to my room.
You go to your room. Okay. Tiny Tim Boxley?
I'll probably go to my room for long enough to see that old staff's not there.
Yeah.
And then I might go and look.
Okay, so you'll turn up in a little while. So back to old staff and wolf staff.
I closed the door.
Okay, yes.
Good lord, what happened?
When I came in, when I came in and, I forgot her name again.
Izzy
was unconscious on the bed and pieces.
It's really cold in here.
Is the window open?
Nope.
The death car were laid out next to her, and he was on the floor. Is it just me, or is it really cold in here?
It's really cold in here. You can see your breath.
Why is it so cold in here?
There is something supernatural going on here. I mean, I've never believed in such a thing before, but there is...
The few candles that are lit in here are starting to dim. At which point the door bursts open.
Ah.
You're here, Tiny Tim Boxley. Clarissa! What are you doing in your room?
What am I doing?
Yes. Are you getting ready for bed? Are you reading? What are you doing?
I'm not going to get ready for bed, but I'm going to lay down on it.
Okay, you get laid down on the bed. This has all been quite stressful, quite a strain on you. You feel like, kind of like how you did in Norfolk. Which is not great. There's a fire lit in the corner of the room in the fireplace. Obviously, it's winter. They warm up all the rooms. And you're just sort of lying there on your bed, and you can hear the crackling. But the room suddenly, like, changes colour. Instead of the orange glow from the fire, you see everything as if it's outlined in blue. Just look around a little, and the fire is burning with a blue flame, and it's getting colder and colder and colder and colder in here, such that the dripping tap now has an icicle hanging from it. You can hear a crackling sound coming from the window.
I'm going to go to the window and shout, "Leave me alone!"
You go over to the window and open the window, and snaking across the glass is this pane of ice, which is forming itself into a shape, a scene of the god Bacchus at a feast surrounded by maenads and satyrs. Weirdly, the diary.
The diary would have probably been in with the crane.
Okay. Yeah, the scene completes itself. And it is the face of Bacchus in this scene is exactly the same as you saw at dinner, and exactly the same as it's bruised into your shoulder now. Exactly the same face. You reckon that this bruise slash blood image is part of that whole scene, and you've just seen the whole scene. However, it's really, really cold in here. Like, really cold. In the room with you lot, it has become painfully cold in here. The fire has died, and you can see mist rolling off the table where the diary is and gathering on the floor.
I go over to the diary.
The diary, you can feel intense cold radiating from the diary. As you stretch your hand towards it, you feel yourself get frostbite.
Yeah.
The ends of your fingers have gone white, numb.
And do you have any gloves?
Probably.
Get some thickest glove of my own.
Okay, you go and grab some gloves, and you reach out for the diary. As you...
Is this the diary of the guy who has it lit up?
No. It is the diary of Winkleman.
Oh, okay.
The one that Timona gave Clarissa to look after, because she looked like the richest. You reach out
and that diary.
You try and pick up the diary, and as you do, there's a... Your room becomes warm. The room you lot are in becomes warm. The fire flares back up, the lights all come back on, there's a... sound as all of, like, the ice on the windows, and the icicles on the thing, and the jug of water by your washstand all just suddenly goes from being frozen to being normal. Hmm. The whole of the room warms back up instantly.
For the diary, has anything changed?
Nope, nothing has changed. You, however, are still shaking and freezing cold. He needs probably medical treatment because he's blue in the face, he's pale, his lips are blue, he's shaking despite the glove. The diary itself isn't cold anymore, but you are very cold.
Mm.
Just you. So, is anybody going to first aid him, or?
Yeah,
Is he still asleep?
She's unaffected, okay.
Yep.
I think I have a first aid set in my room. It's like that I carry on me.
You probably don't need the first aid kit because he's suffering from hypothermia.
Oh, okay. That can wrap in a brandy to give him a brandy.
You got 58 against 50. So,
it's up to you.
You're a bit warmer.
You're a tiny amount warmer, but you're still shaking. Make me a constitution check.
Okay. Yeah, I passed that.
Okay. For the rest of tonight, you will be getting a disadvantage die for everything.
Okay.
Tomorrow you will be fine.
Okay.
The picture on your window, the moment the heat comes back, it just disappears instantly. And outside your window, you see a pale face, which looks at you, cants its head slightly, and then falls away. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we will end for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of The Calls for Tea and Dice. If you would like to talk to us, you can talk to us at thecultoftandice.net, or you can talk to us at thecultoftandice@gmail.com. You can talk to me on the Twitters at Mordrigan. You can talk to T Gremlin at, you can talk to Archive at T Gremlin, not T Gremlin at Archive. You can talk to Blooded at Blooded Fox. You can talk to us all at Cult T and Dice. If you would like to give us iTunes reviews, then please do give us iTunes reviews because we would love your iTunes reviews. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye. Goodbye!
Bye! Bye.